So how do we want to start?
Just intro it, as usual.
I think this is the start.
Is this the start?
This is the start.
Of the hookah talk?
This is the start of our hookah talks sports podcast. This is the Sports on Tap Brothers. And it's our first episode of the hookah talks. We're going to be doing outdoor podcasts, have a hookah for our Middle Eastern heritage, our Syrian heritage, and just enjoy and talk sports. A new style. But before we get there, in case we got some new listeners, every episode, hopefully there is a new listener. I am the younger brother here, Sammy, George, or Sammy on Tap on all platforms.
And I'm George on Tap on all platforms, the older brother, except on Snapchat. I'm just G-George because someone took George on Tap. Like, I don't know who the hell took George on Tap on Snapchat, but whoever it is, if you're listening, like, give me that shit.
Yeah, I'm Sam on Tap on Facebook because Sammy on Tap won't work either.
Really?
And for those that know, it's Sammy, S-A-M-I, on Tap. So that's a weird one to be gone on Facebook as well. Yours is, your name's George. Mine's Sammy, S-A-M-I. There's not a lot of Sammy on Taps out there, except for me, obviously. Except for on Facebook, apparently. But episode one, new style. For those that want to know what we're kind of doing is more of an interview style of sports, asking questions that mean more than just a sports debate. And we're getting a little tired of the ESPN debate shows and the Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp debate shows. No hate to them, all respect. Obviously, they're good at what they do and they make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But we're going to try to do more interview styles the way we'd be talking to somebody if we brought on a guest. So let's kick this thing off, the first show.
Yeah, let's do it. But before we get started, I do want to say that like it was really interesting. I was actually going through all our old YouTube videos from like the last like probably 4 or 5 episodes ago. And one of our topics was, is this the end of debate shows?
And now we're trying to make the end of it.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny. I didn't even realize that we had a topic like that at one point.
At least for ourselves, we're trying to make the end of it, right? We're trying to make it for ourselves and maybe start a different trend a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to give an example of what we mean by the end of debate shows. Like, for example, Sammy, I think Nikola Jokic should be the MVP, not Joel Embiid.
And if this was a ESPN debate show, it would go, Kendrick Perkins, they are white. The voters are white. And it's wrong. It should be Joel Embiid or Giannis because you're wrong and you're stupid.
Let me stop you there. Do you not understand advanced analytics? Like, do you not understand them? Advanced analytics show that Nikola Jokic is the MVP. 3-time MVP.
Do you not understand that you're stupid?
I'm an idiot, but I know that. But you know what? Sammy, listen to me good. If you don't think that Nikola Jokic is the MVP, you are the problem. And that's debate shows.
Skip Bayless. This would be Skip Bayless bouncing in his chair. It's my turn, George. It's my turn.
Yeah.
It's my turn.
There's no turns on this show.
It's my turn to get us started.
All right. Get us started, bro.
So let's end those debates and let's get rolling. We're going to do 3 questions each in the sports world, and then we will be doing some personal stuff that you can learn more about us and some of our hobbies coming up after at the end. But, George, I thought you said you wanted to kick off the first interview question.
Yeah, the first interview question to you, Sammy, is simply, March Madness, we got 4 teams, FAU, UConn, Miami, and
San Diego State.
San Diego State. 3 of those 4 teams have never made the Final Four. The highest seed is a 5 seed in the
4 seed.
4 seed in
UConn.
The final. UConn's a 4 seed, but there's no 1 seeds. My question for you, Sammy, is college basketball actually changed forever?
Well, you know, I was a little prepped for this question today, which won't always be the case. We're not always going to be prepped for each other's questions, but I kind of knew this one was coming. And it's like a 5-part question because we can break down a lot about NIL, about transfer portal, about absolutely the age of the one and done guys, about the new school and the old school of basketball. And I'm going to start with this is if you're looking at the situation, simply at the type of teams that are there, if you take away UConn, I do know that Miami's back-to-back Elite Eights, which might have to do with some more longevity. That coach has been there for a long time. If you look at FAU, you know, they're building a program. It's absolutely not these one-and-done powerhouse schools. And if you look at San Diego State and you go to that roster, which I did, and I'm not sitting here to tell you I'm an expert, but I went through that roster, and 80, maybe 90% outside of, like, 5 guys, it said senior, 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 senior. no matter what, even if they're not more talented than these one-and-done guys of Kentucky, they've been playing college basketball for 4 years. They are 21, 22 years old versus 17 or 18-year-olds.
Bigger bodies.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a old man strength, right? There's a big difference between a 22-year-old and the 18-year-old. Not every player on a top-seed Kentucky or Kansas is an NBA player.
Right.
You know, it's a couple of them, and those are their best players usually, but it's different than the experience that these other guys have. So I'm going to start with that one, George, and just say there's got to be some part that's changed due to the transfer portal, the NIL, the age of teams, the one-and-dones, even the one-and-dones that are one-and-done transfer portals. It Right. changes a lot for a lot of these teams. But I will say the NIL also helps. So this is my second part to it. I brought this up to you yesterday with Drew Timmy on Gonzaga. Drew Timmy was known to stay in Gonzaga for one more year because he thought he could make more money in Spokane, Washington, playing for Gonzaga with NIL deals than being like the 58th pick in the draft and make $1 million in his first year in the NBA. He could probably make $2-3 million. Mm-hmm. So all those factors happen, and I think, yes, it's changed forever, but I don't think it's changed every single year from here on out. So I do think we might see a one-seed Kentucky back in it in a year or two, right?
Yeah, well, the way I look at it, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but the way like I really think about it is like a Carmelo Anthony at Syracuse, a Anthony Davis at Kentucky, even the Kentucky team with Carl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker. I think it would take a very special circumstance for basketball not to change. I think you would need, like, I don't know if there is any college basketball team that right now has two top 10 picks or, I mean, we already know the number one overall pick is Victor Wembanyama. We don't have, like, that number one guy. I know Carmelo Anthony went number two, but we don't have that, like, dominant player. Do you think, like, if a team had, like, let's say Kentucky had a guy like Anthony Davis or a team like Syracuse had a Carmelo Anthony, would that be, like, a recipe for a national championship?
That's a good question. I think it depends because we saw – like maybe the undisputed best player in college this year. Now, he might not be not an undisputed number one pick, but Zach Eadie, whatever it is, for Purdue is like the undisputed Naismith Award winner, most dominant player all year, number one seed.
Unless you want to talk about that guy from Detroit who led the nation in scoring. I don't even know his name, so I guess that probably wouldn't count.
Well, that's also different because he's not like the best player in the nation, and he's not the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Zach Eadie's not the number one pick either, but I'm saying at least he's a 7-footer, best player in the nation on the number one seed. So, like, to go to your point, like the number one seed, like a Syracuse with the best player in the nation. But maybe because he's not an NBA star.
Right. I'm talking about like a transformative star.
Like, there's no Anthony Davis on a team, there's no DeMarcus Cousins or the Devin Booker. Even those Kentucky teams that had one and done guys, you had those rosters that had like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk or the Devin Booker with Tyler Ulis and
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns.
Like, two top 10 picks.
Yeah, and so those teams are different. That's why I said it's not going to change every year here on out, but I do think it has changed the landscape in general.
Okay, here's where I would like to ask you, though. Let's say you are the head coach of Kentucky. I'm not saying Gonzaga. Gonzaga is not going to be able to build a program like that. Let's say you're John Calipari. Would you be going after guys who'd stay 3-4 years, or would you be going after like two top 10 picks and try to build that like flash in a pan and win the national championship in 1 year? Like, what would be the strategy for these schools, the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Kansas, I'm talking about those powerhouse programs. What would be your like strategy?
I mean, their only option is to recruit one and dones. That's how I see it. I think their only option is to recruit these mostly one and done guys because you're not going to stop recruiting one-and-done guys and let them end up at the now going back to places like Florida and the UConns that are building because they're still going to get – now UConn in the Final Four, they're going to go back to getting the Kemba Walkers and the
top – Kemba was a four-year guy.
Yeah, but still, UConn's been known as like what? They had the Ray Allens of the world. They've had the Hashim –
remember Omeka Okafor?
Yeah, Hashim Thabeet and just becoming teams that make it to championships. So I think the strategies have to stay somewhat the same. And maybe it's going to change as more coaches grow. I mean, we did lose two of the best coaches in history of basketball, Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski.
I'm so glad you said that because my next question to you was about Coach K.
Well,
it really was.
Hear me out for a second because I wasn't done with that statement. Was Roy Williams, Coach K, and we're missing one, Jay Wright.
Jay Wright, yeah.
Those are three programs that won multiple championships and were somewhere in the Elite Eight, Final Four every single year. And some of those other teams that we've seen recently, Kansas, Bill Self was out for the last couple months. Yeah. Gonzaga did make it to the Elite Eight, right? Like, you still had some of those coaches that we know and those programs that we know making it a little further. Even the Miami coach, they made it a little further. You had who lost last round that was a big name?
Texas.
Texas, okay, but they also had a coaching change in the middle of the year, just like Bill Self was out for a little bit. So you've had some guys that have either lost coaches. Chris Beard got fired for what happened to him and his wife and whatever. And you had Bill Self not finish off the year strong. You, like I said, Villanova's lost their coach. Duke and North Carolina. I know North Carolina made it last year to the finals, but that was probably off of a Roy Williams recruiting class. So that's going to be a big thing. Now to your question about Coach K, what was it?
Okay, Coach K and Jay Wright, because I forgot Jay Wright. Those are two guys who actually, like, well, Jay Wright kept recruiting those four-year guys, while Coach K always said he had to adjust to go to the one-and-done programs because he didn't really like that. Do you think they both retired maybe at the wrong time? Because it now seems like to build a program might be the successful way of actually winning. So if, like, Coach K stayed and Jay Wright stayed, maybe this was, like, this is the era they would actually thrive in. I mean, I know Coach K thrived and Jay Wright thrived, but, like, maybe they would have even thrived at a higher level because they would have went and recruited the guys they actually wanted instead of just focusing on the one-and-dones.
I might be a little stumped for a second because...
I didn't think about this until, like, now, by the way. This is just off the top of my head. Like, this is, this is raw, folks.
I'm going to guess no. I think it'd be the same. I mean, like, even Kansas with Bill Self, who won last year, I mean, they lost in the second round of the tournament. Purdue's been building.
Yeah.
Purdue's, like, that coach has been there for a little bit. Zach Edey's been there. Like, they've been producing, and they lose in the first round to FDU.
Producing?
Yeah. No pun intended. But, you know, and it still didn't work.
True.
For me, I think that no matter what, there's going to be more parity. I think that's all it says. That doesn't mean, like I said, I think it's changed forever because of NIL. These kids at Boca Raton, at FAU.
Yeah.
I think I brought this up to you
the
watching
the Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys in the Final Four. Let's say one of those players gets offered to go to a, let's not say Duke, like a mid-major, like Oklahoma State. Okay. They're not a mid-major, but they're a major, mid-major team.
They're a Big 12 team that's like University of Washington. They're not always in the tournament.
Yeah. I don't mean mid-major as in like, St. Mary's. I mean, like, mid of the majors, right?
Yeah. Middle of a pack of the major programs.
Of the major programs, yes. They, if that kid goes and plays, a kid from FAU transfers there, and he's the third guy on Oklahoma State, he's not going to make as much NIL money as he would in FAU after a Final Four, after being the guy that's, you know, a guy that helped the team go to the Final Four in Boca Raton, because, like, they don't have major sports teams. I know it's close to Miami, but it's Boca Raton is Boca Raton, right? It's like Fort Lauderdale is Fort Lauderdale. Like, there's not these major names right now, right? So I think it's harder, and hand me those tongs when you're done. I think it's harder I think it's easier for those teams to retain these guys to not just go to the transfer portal, and it's also harder for the big-name schools to retain big-name guys that didn't produce good enough, and they won't want to stay in that program. You've seen this with guys that, you know, are especially these guys that were like the big high school names, right? Yep. That they go to a school, doesn't work out for 1 year, what do they do? Next school.
Well, either out, MBA.
Yeah, or next school.
Yeah, and the NIL, Sammy, like, one thing that I really like about the NIL is also, like, I've always been, like, I want to say against, like, getting paid too much. Like, I think Caleb Williams at USC, it's crazy that he has this, like, opportunity where he's getting paid from a hedge fund, not from the school or not from, like, an actual thing. He's getting, like, his NIL as a hedge fund. It's a little insane. But you get a guy like, I don't know.
I will say really quick to Caleb Williams' point is coach leaves. He doesn't stick out with the program. Same with basketball's going to happen.
Right.
He doesn't stick it out. What does he do, though? He goes to a bigger, better opportunity. So that's a good example of guys that are going to leave right away if the opportunity's not there. But continue. Right.
Yeah, but, like, my point is here, like, the NIL, even though I didn't think it had the greatest, like, thing, like, with Caleb Williams, But in general, it's a different way to build a program, because now you can go get a guy like Drew, like you said, Drew Timmy earlier, and he's going to stick around and not want to be a second round pick and get that minimum money that he might have gotten. So instead, he's going to get a whole lot of money from Gonzaga. So you might see teams have like multiple second round picks stick around instead of going to the NBA draft. And also, you might have kids who are like, all right, do I go get a salary 1 year from the G League, or do I go to Duke and get $1 million? Like, that's the options, right? G League.
But there's been a lot of guys that are doing the G League option.
Yeah, because the NIL hasn't been around long enough yet. Like, maybe 5 years from now, we see less guys go to the G League. We see less guys like LaMelo Ball go to Australia because they can make the same amount of money at Duke. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the answer is going to always be the same for me is college basketball has changed, but doesn't mean it's changed every year, because there is going to be that year where you get a Devin Booker and a Karl Anthony Towns to choose to play for the same college, and they're still the best team in the nation, and probably go all the way to the finals.
Yep.
And we're going to say, that's exactly what we expected. And then there's going to be these years, maybe less likely, or maybe 40-60, where you're like FAU versus San Diego State. Like, Miami's a big program. I know they haven't been in basketball, but like, it's Miami.
It's still Miami. Yeah. Yeah,
and like, that's a good place to live as a college kid. And that's a good now after this, they're gonna
not just as a college kid, as a human
being. Yeah, but you know what I know, but we're talking about college kids. So I mean, like, as a college kid, like, I'm in Miami, and they just went to back-to-back Elite Eights, transfer portal. They're gonna get some guys now.
Absolutely.
So I think at the end of the day, my final conclusion is, we'll stay the same in some aspects and change in some aspects, but it is forever changed. Mm-hmm. Overall.
All right. I love it, man. Yeah, that's. I think it's a good answer. I agree with you totally. I think it's circumstantial, but I do think we'll see more teams like an FAU reach Final Fours in the future.
Yeah, and there's one more part, I guess. We talked about this. Coming from kids that played in, you know, feeder teams, yep. AAU, you know, like even more in my time, you're 6 years older than me as my brother. You know, you were with your high school feeder team doing AAU mm-hmm. tournaments, and I took like the next step after you did that, and AAU was even bigger 6 years later when I was in high school. It became even crazier, almost to a fault or right. to a flaw. It became crazier where, you know, like, kids were to stop playing for their high school feeder teams in the summer and only play for AAU and travel to Vegas, Orlando, LA, Portland, Seattle, like all these places. And that's what we did. And got a lot of kids that got really good at basketball. And even if it's not the right brand of basketball that everyone loves, if you can shoot some threes and you become a good three-point shooter, I think you can win any tournament game.
Absolutely.
And I think that's happening because of the AAU programs, the training they get, and kids are just getting better at basketball. Whether it's not the style we like or not, they're getting better.
I totally agree. And last thing I'm going to say, because I was thinking about this, and it's just like about Bronny James. I feel like Bronny James, like, he was second team all conference, right? And he's like going to be a D1 athlete. These kids, though, even though they are an AAU program, and a lot of people think the AAU program in general is not like great, but they do get to learn how to be role players in a way.
And like superstar role players.
Yes.
Like Bronny James, why not, is a second team guy, and he has other D1 guys. He learned how to be a Paul George and not be a LeBron James.
Yep, in high school. Which would maybe translate better to his college team, his NBA team, and things like that.
And this is not to hate on him, but like for Russell Westbrook, for example, he does not know how to adjust to not being the number one guy. And I don't blame him, because if I was as good as Russell Westbrook at basketball,
I wouldn't be number two.
Yeah, I would hit my ball, I'm shooting.
Exactly.
Like, Russell Westbrook's like, it's my ball, I'm shooting the ball. Like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm the best player in the world. I've won an MVP. But you're not the best player in the world. And I don't think you learned that. Even though he played with Kevin Love in college and he was whatever. He wasn't
He was a sixth man, I think, in college. Yeah.
But when you get to the NBA and win an MVP, it's harder. But when you're their age in high school, you might not even be the best player. It's much easier to say, hey, like, I know how to, like, know when to shoot, not to shoot.
Exactly. No, love it. You might hand me those tongs, though, by the way, while I get my question.
All right, we're going to go to baseball. And, you know, those are listening, hopefully in the tabs when we have time, I'll make sure they're time-stamped well. If there's a certain sport you really don't care about, I hope you listen and just enjoy. But we have college basketball, NBA, baseball, and NFL topics today. So the number two topic is coming from me, and it's my question to George is, I'm going to put some context. We live in Phoenix, Arizona, even though we're diehard Seattle sports fans, because if you know us from our Seattle podcast, that's why. But we live in Phoenix, Arizona. Us two brothers here. And we went to a lot of the World Baseball Classic games. The World Baseball Classic was at Chase Field in Phoenix, where the Diamondbacks play. We watched a lot of Team USA. We watched the craziness, probably the coolest game I've ever watched of baseball, to be honest, as a Mariners fan. We haven't seen a World Series. USA-Mexico. And it got me thinking, is baseball back better than ever? And if not, was the World Baseball Classic a step? Or do you think it was just like a... what do they call it? Like a flash in the
flash
dust?
Flash in the pan.
Flash in the pan. Flash in the dust. I don't know where I came up with that one.
I like it, bro.
Flash in the dust. Dust flash.
That's like
dust
storm. That should be the opposite of a flash in the pan.
And dust. Yeah. Like you can't even see it. It doesn't even flash. Is baseball back better than ever? And if it is, or if it isn't, do you think the WBC had something to do with that?
Okay. This is a great question. And I have multiple like theories here, so like please bear with me here as
I'll chime in when there's something that really strikes me.
Okay, this is like a two-prong answer because one, I don't know if it's because I'm a Seattle Mariners fan and this is one of the most anticipated Seattle Mariners season. I'm on Seattle Mariners Twitter, blah blah blah.
I have to pause you for one second. My first initial thought was like, was baseball just so much cooler last year for us because the Mariners made the
playoffs?
I agree.
That's like kind of like my thing. I'm like, is it back or is it I'm just excited for the Mariners?
Are we back?
And is Twitter back? Because all like I do read about, which like I tell you, I'm a big English Premier League fan, Tottenham Hotspur. I got a little sticker here. I like only consume that as far as soccer content. Same with baseball. I'm consuming Seattle Mariner content. And I do see the passion and the love and the like excitement for Seattle Mariners baseball this year. So I don't know if baseball's back or I am just around a group of people, like, you know, they say an echo chamber, where I see like so many Seattle Mariner fans so damn excited for the season. Where they're like, oh, yeah, baseball's back because the Mariners are back better than ever. But to your question, watching those World Baseball Classic games and seeing the coverage that Shohei Ohtani got, we finally have a super duper 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 star in baseball.
Playing with the second biggest star in baseball, maybe.
And playing with Mike Trout, who might be boring, but his name resonates with baseball fans. So I don't know if baseball's back. Or do we have those big names? And, you know, Rob Manfred gets so much hate, and rightfully so.
For not adapting, pretty much.
Yeah, for not adapting. But, okay, we got this faster game now with the pitch clock. We got the WBC, which is run by Major League Baseball. It's not run by, like, an independent organization like FIFA. And all of a sudden, like, I hear Shohei Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Mike Trout, Mike Trout. And, like, even, like, someone like Trey Turner is super famous now.
Yeah, American superstar, dude.
Yeah,
hero.
It's American hero, Trey Turner. So I'm wondering, like, the question, I don't know if baseball's back, but it sure damn feels like it.
Yeah, and I think it helps that Shohei Ohtani is from a different country. Mm-hmm. To add to what you're saying, I think for us, obviously, I think we missed one key part with the Mariners being back, but also one of the top five biggest names in baseball, Julio Rodriguez, being on the Mariners.
Absolutely.
The Mariners were big when Griffey was there. Alex Rodriguez, Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez, Randy Johnson. That also helps your city, your organization become more popular on Twitter, social media. More people, you know, tune into our Seattle podcast. More people follow our Mariners pages, even if they're not a Mariners fan. You know, even Astros fans are all up in our mentions on Twitter for our Mariners page because they feel like they have a rival now. So it adds fuel to everything. The more your hometown team gets better, the more you see the interactions with other cities. But I do think it helps to show he's from a different country because Shohei Ohtani brings that whole Japanese Japan.
Yep.
Like, I mean, they break records for baseball games. They break records on social media talking
and
about it.
Also add like this mystique. Right? Like Shohei Ohtani, I know he speaks English and Spanish. He's like a fucking remarkable dude. But in general, like there still is this like mystique around Shohei Ohtani, not only because of who he is and he's
international
Japanese
superhero,
and international superhero, but because he pitches and bats. Like I think he's the type of guy that if baseball really did put on ESPN games more often, which they do, and they put on the Angels, and I know Shohei Ohtani's pitching and batting that game, I might be more likely to tune in than if the Yankees and Red Sox are playing, and that's a huge rivalry. I might be more likely. I'm not sure if I am, because I don't really watch random baseball games.
Which a lot of people don't.
Most people don't. Most people watch their local teams.
Yeah.
But in general, like if Shohei Ohtani, like if I told you tonight Shohei Ohtani's pitching for the Angels at Yankee Stadium and the Angels are in a wild card race and the Yankees are in the AL East race. I'm saying the Angels in the wild card race because I'm assuming the Seattle Mariners are in first place and 15 games above first place, so they can't even catch us.
And if not, the Astros are in first place, and the Angels are still behind the Mariners.
They're still behind the Mariners. Like, would you be at least, if there's no NBA games on, a little bit intrigued to at least put it on your screen?
A little more, yeah. Than I was before.
Yeah.
And last year, I just have another...
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, the Aaron Judge home run thing. That's exactly where I was going to. The Aaron Judge home run thing got us tuning into more games, right?
Absolutely.
I never turned on a Yankee game in the middle of like July versus the...
And he's a Yankee. Yeah. Like if he was a Kansas City
Oakland
Royal,
I
don't know if I'm going to be tuning in to see his home run race. But he's a New York Yankee.
Yeah, I think that makes a difference and doesn't, because Julio Rodriguez was rated the best player in Dominican. He was one of the top two voters for like the MLB show cover.
But
he's on the Mariners.
I'm going to stop you there. The reason that Julio Rodriguez is a huge name in baseball is because of Ken Griffey Jr. The Seattle Mariners already had this mystique with Ken Griffey Jr. It's like the Chicago Bulls right now. The reason like Derrick Rose got so big was because of Michael Jordan. Like when you have that guy, Griffey was loved by everyone.
I think you're waiting for that next guy.
They're waiting for that next guy, and I think Julio Rodriguez is that next guy. I mean, I think Julio's going to, like, I don't think he's the best player in baseball this year. I think it's Shohei, Mike Trout, Juan Soto, Julio, fourth. Or maybe Aaron Judge, Julio, whatever you want to put, Manny Machado. But the Mariners have been, like, baseball's been waiting for the Mariners to have that next guy, because everyone growing up, especially people my generation who are 35 years old, and it tends to be when you get a little bit older, you watch more baseball. Those kids were growing up 17, 18, 16, 17, 18, watched junior. Now they're like, all right, we're waiting for that next guy. And Julio Rodriguez is there, and he's a Seattle Mariner. That really does help.
Yeah, it does, because even, I'll add this, even a guy like LeBron James says his favorite athlete growing up was Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, the swag, the backwards hat, the swing, well, the most beautiful swing in baseball.
I think that adds to the fact that that means LeBron James in Akron, Ohio, was watching Seattle Mariners highlights when he was a kid. So you somewhat are a Seattle Mariners fan, right? So we, you know, if you look at some of our friends that weren't born and raised in Seattle, we were Sonics fans. So I'm going to use our good friend, Rabi Abusleyman. I'll send him this clip. He is a Lakers fan. He came from Lebanon, moved to Seattle after the Sonics were already gone. Who's his favorite team?
The Lakers.
Because of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, but the Lakers in general, that's it.
Okay, but because
name.
Of Kobe Bryant.
Because of Kobe Bryant,
there's
absolutely.
People that are Miami Heat fans because of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
There are friends who their parents in Syria are Chicago Bulls fans till today.
Michael Jordan.
Because of Michael Jordan.
So it makes a difference. The names, where they're placed, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, they're not in the Dodgers, but they are in Anaheim, Los Angeles, whatever you want to call it. I live next to Anaheim Stadium. It is nowhere near Los Angeles. It takes an hour to get there in traffic, but it's Los Angeles.
It's the midpoint between San Diego.
If you don't live, if you do not live in L.A., and you read the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, you say they are the what team? The Los Angeles.
Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah. So that makes a role.
Well, they should go back to California Angels in that old logo. That was way better.
Yeah, it is better. With the wings, the angel wings. I will say one more thing. It's a negative press on the MLB, but I feel like I've heard more uproar about it, which might make me feel like we're talking about the MLB more, is the whole Bally Sports bankruptcy thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people are complaining about how can you watch your hometown games? Why is it so hard to watch your hometown games? Now, it's a negative press towards the MLB, but it's gotten a lot of people on social media, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, talking about the TV rights and how can I watch my local games, which helps add press to the... Like, you know, any press is good press type of thing. Obviously, unless you're, like, in jail, but, like...
Well, but if it goes back to scarcity, right? Like, let's just say that I was not allowed to watch a Mariners game this year. Like, somehow I was not allowed to. You miss it. And you want it more.
And you're going to complain on Twitter, how can I watch these games? People are complaining during spring training. Why are not the Mariners games on Root
Sports? Same with the Seattle Supersonics, right? Like, we had problems with attendance ratings for the Sonics. That's why they left Oklahoma City. Part of the reason, like, I don't want to get into all that. But in general, like, now they miss them. When you miss something,
The season tickets will be sold out in a millisecond. Exactly. Just like the Kraken. Nobody in Seattle actually cared about hockey until now. But they sold out in a millisecond season ticket holders. It was literally one refresh on Ticketmaster. Absolutely. Crash. Same thing will happen to the Sonics because the mystique is gone. Now, if the Sonics were bad the last 10 years, the attendance would be down. But absolutely, it's not going to be down for the next 10 years if they're back because the mystique, like yep, you said.
But to go back to, is baseball back better than ever? Your original question. I actually think yes. I think for the first
time. It's in a better place.
It's in a better place. This is the first time in my lifetime. One, they're starting to get their things right on social media. They're starting to. Not perfect.
I just cheers the camera. Go ahead.
They're starting to get their things right on social media. Two, they have superstar names. I just named guys that most people know. Julio Rodriguez, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Trey Turner, Manny Machado, Juan Soto.
Jose Altuve,
Yordan Alvarez. Like, we're talking about huge, 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 huge names. And that's what, why is the NBA so big even though the ratings are down? Because you got guys like LeBron, Steph. Like, in general, this means, like, I really do believe that baseball is not back. It's not the national pastime. But it's back. People are going to be watching baseball this year.
I agree. And I think the ratings are going to be better than ever. And I believe that the ratings for national games, forget local. The local ratings have always been great.
They're always solid.
You're not going to see an uptick in New York Yankees local ratings. You might see an uptick, but not like, oh my God, we're up 40%. Like, no, like most of New York watches Yankees or Mets or whoever you root
especially
for.
Especially if they're good.
Yeah. But we will see an uptick in the Angels playing the Yankees, even absolutely, the Angels playing the Astros. Shohei Ohtani's pitching on national TV on a Friday night Apple TV game. There will be an uptick.
There will be an uptick, absolutely.
Although, Apple TV, I don't know if you heard. You know they're bringing back Friday night Apple TV?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And it's not free anymore. You have to pay for Apple TV. So
well,
the MLB is also finding ways to shoot itself in the foot.
So Apple TV, is it gone or is it back?
I didn't know if that was like a serious question or I was looking a little confused. I was like, how do I answer that? Was that a serious question or was that sarcasm?
Who's sarcasm, bro?
Okay, baseball's back. I think that's the conclusion. And I think I'm ready for your question.
All right. Before my question, we're going to take a quick break. All right, we're back from our break, Sammy. We had to make a new hookah calls. That's the hookah talk. So
we'll have one more break for the new head to come on.
Absolutely. All right, so my question for you here is, like, I've been thinking a lot about the NBA regular season. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't tune into the NBA regular season because it's a little saturated. My question for you, Sammy, is how would you actually fix the NBA regular season?
Well, one of the great age-old questions, whatever they say. I'm not good at sayings. I should stop trying to make sayings.
I kind of like them because you get them wrong.
Age-old, old-age sayings, questions, whatever. How to fix the NBA. Now, I think another question I'm going to force you to ask me it. Okay. And is it broken?
Well, here's the thing. The saying is, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Correct.
But I think it's broken. Do you?
Yes and no. So I do think there are pieces of it broken. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's broken.
Okay.
I think that the problem is, and I genuinely think this is the issue, I think we're in a weird time where the stars have way too big of a gap between each other.
Okay. What do you mean by gap?
Age.
Okay.
So, and the reason I think that's what causes the brokenness a little bit, right, is Kawhi Leonard's always hurt and resting because he's won, what?
Well, he's a weirdo.
Yeah, but he's won two championships. Yeah. He's not going to risk injury. You have LeBron James keeps getting hurt. Anthony Davis is not that old, but let's just call him a vet. Or let's call him old, whatever. Yeah. He gets hurt and doesn't play. Steph Curry's been out like 7 times this year.
But he's actually hurt.
But he keeps getting hurt because he's getting older. Yeah. He was out the 2 years ago, and Klay Thompson was out 2 years ago, yep, and they sucked. And he was out parts of last year. They just keep getting hurt. And I think that the guys that are stars right now, like Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, all big men. Mm-hmm. We're not talking like high-flying John Morant. John Morant's a star, but he's like younger, hasn't won much yet, hasn't done an MVP, hasn't won a championship like Giannis or MVP like Jokic, hasn't been like a top two MVP voter like Embiid. And there's just this weird in between to me, in my head, mm-hmm, where You got some old stars that are still so good. When Kevin Durant, if I told gave you one game Kevin Durant, you might say he's winning that game no matter what.
Yeah,
if I gave you one game LeBron James, you might say he might win that game no matter what.
Same with Steph Curry.
Yeah. Yeah. And same with even like a healthy Chris Paul with Devin Booker on his team. Like, they made the finals 2 years ago, right? Like, oh, he's healthy 100%. The whole team's healthy. Yeah, Chris Paul might like maneuver an offense good enough for one game to help you win.
Yeah, you're talking about game seven, right?
Kawhi Leonard also. And I think you have that maybe a little bit with the international big guys, but they're not as high. I don't know how to say it because Giannis can jump. He's tall. They're not as high-flying, show-stopping players where I think most of those guys are more young guys coming up like Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards, all those guys, Jason Tatum even. He's a little bit in between those. I think that's part of the problem is like so many of the top stars that are older keep missing games.
Okay.
And it makes the regular season, which I know that's the main question here probably is, or the main issue with you as well, is it dilutes the regular season.
Yeah, because I have no issue with the playoffs. That's why I asked. Is the NBA broken? Because I don't think the NBA broken, because I think the playoffs are fantastic. I'm asking you, is the NBA regular season broken? And how would you fix the regular season if you do believe it's broken?
I don't think there's a fix. Unless, well, I do think there's a fix, but I don't think they should do this. So that's kind of my
what's your fix?
Theme. Right? The fix is less games, but
I don't think there should be less games personally.
I don't either. That's the problem. I don't think there should be less games, but what are you going to do? Make LeBron James play more or fine people for resting or like,
okay.
How are you going to hear me out? Just 1 second, because I know there's another topic that might come up, and
I wanted to ask you.
I think it has to do with the play-in game and
no, it's
size
not.
The playoffs.
No, I was going to ask you.
Would a
fix be a in-season tournament, a la the FA Cup and English Premier League?
Here comes soccer guy.
The soccer guy is here. Because honestly, I'm just going to give you a little preface to the question, and then you can answer it. I feel like when, for example, the English Premier League, like even if a team is out of the running for the Premier League title or out of a running for a Champions League spot, which means like automatic qualification to playoffs, basically, you have these in-season tournaments that might keep fans interested in what the team's doing. So you might be able to still play 82 games, but maybe adding an in-season tournament with a trophy. What's your thoughts on that? You know my thoughts. I'm not giving my thoughts on this. You know my thoughts. What's your thoughts?
I'll say a couple of things because I almost wasn't ready to get there, but I'll answer it after I say this. The reason I thought you were going to say play-in game, the size of the playoffs, 10 teams make the playoffs / play-in game. That's 20 teams total on each side. There's 30 teams.
30 or 32?
30. 32 would be with expansion, right? That's why they're thinking about expanding.
So 66% of a league is in the playoffs.
I think it's 30. I don't know. Sometimes it's
32.
NFL's 32. Baseball's 30, and NBA's 30.
I think it's
32. Fact check time. Where's our producer?
I think it's 32.
Hey, producer. Can you ask the producer?
Producer, can you check that for me real quick? The producer is Sammy here smoking a hookah.
There are...
I think it's
30 NBA teams.
30 NBA teams. So I think 66% of the team makes a playoff.
So why the hell, right now, LeBron, yeah, the way he came back yesterday, he didn't give a shit. He knew that if the Lakers won 2 out of 3, which they did with Russell and Anthony Davis, they were back to this 8 seed.
Yeah.
Well, if he knew it was 8 teams and there was no play-in thing, he probably would have, like, this season would be much more serious these last 10 games. So that's one part of it I think is an issue, even though I low-key love the playing games for entertainment purposes, which will be a transition to your question, because I do love the playing games. If the tournament becomes a play-in tournament, now you got me interested. Now the problem is, if the Denver Nuggets are the number one seed, up like they were all season earlier, up how many games? Like 12 games on most teams. The hell are they going to do in this play-in tournament? They're not going to care.
But how about if you like, here's just a question, like my thoughts on the play-in tournament. Imagine if the in-season tournament.
Yeah, I think this is what you're getting to, but tell me what you think, like what is the in-season?
Okay.
Is that what you're getting to?
Before I get into that, here's my thing. The Orlando Magic, I saw a tweet the other day, Paolo Banchero said, oh, you think we're tanking? We're 28-26 in our last 40 whatever something games. So imagine if you won this tournament. That's a
mid-season
tournament. You get automatic qualification as an 8th seed at minimum if you're not qualified to a playoff. So a team like the Orlando Magic and their fan base would be so behind winning this like single elimination FA Cup style tournament. How I would do it is I'd have 64 teams. I have 64, whatever we could do. All 30 NBA teams, have 30 international teams.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
And just play it in. And if an international team, let's say FC BC Barcelona, Basketball Club Barcelona won it, they're automatically in the NBA playoffs.
How would this affect draft, playoffs, seeding?
It wouldn't. Only way is if a team that's not in the playoffs wins the in-season tournament, they would get the last seed in the playing game.
What if the last 16 teams in the tournament, Sweet 16, let's say March Madness style, are all teams that are already in the playoffs?
Well, you're just playing for a trophy.
There's got to be more to it. I know.
There's a flaw in the system. But is it better than what the regular season is now?
Potentially. I think it's a bad idea to bring outside. I think it's a really bad look for the NBA if the Lakers lose to BC Barcelona. I think it's extremely bad. We've seen it in soccer where it looks really bad for a team. It does.
It does. I mean, look at my team, Tottenham Hotspur. Got a coach fired because of it, but
I think LeBron would like be sitting there and be like, this is like, I think it ruined team seasons now in soccer.
I know, which is kind of fun. We're not talking about like integrity here. We're talking about entertainment. Sports is entertainment. Like, let's say the Lakers are the one seed, right? In a Sweet 16 matchup against BC Barcelona. And then all of a sudden, they're like, well, we're already a one seed. I'm not going to play LeBron James. I'm just going to sit this out. And BC Barcelona's like, we're putting in our whole entire fucking game plan to this. Would you not tune in?
Yeah. So you're saying, like, it could be a benefit. So for the lower NBA teams, it's a benefit. For the higher NBA teams, it could mean nothing, which could allow room for the lower seeds to get in.
Right, but it also
means... But it means a lot to the 8th seed right now in the West, because the 8th seed in the West, they know if Barcelona gets in and they're part of the West side of the bracket, that if they end up at the 8th seed, Barcelona takes their spot.
Yeah.
Because they get the automatic 8th seed, so you're dropped to 9.
But think of it like this. College basketball is not even that good, right? Like, this quality of games we're watching is not great, right? You did admit that. Are you watching?
Yeah.
Would you watch, really, a Elite Eight game?
FAU is like Barcelona being in the Final Four.
Yeah. And the Lakers are the
one. Because they're good.
Let's say the Nuggets are the one seed. And they're like, all right, well, we're already the one seed. I'm not going to risk Nikola Jokic's health today. He's sitting out. All of a sudden, Barcelona has Mirotek from the old Chicago Bulls. And they have a couple of ex-NBA players. You tuning in, right?
I probably tune in, yeah.
Yeah, you tune in. You tune into the Olympics, Spain versus the USA.
Yeah. And I'm tuning into the friggin' World Baseball Classic and different things. You know, I'm not... You might have, like, kind of convinced me that it's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. I don't know if it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, cool, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know... I'll give you a follow-up question. Do you want me to answer this question as in the realistic possibilities for the NBA or just the fun possibilities for a fan?
Well, what is this? What's the point of this podcast? Sports should be fun, right?
So the fun possibility is what you're saying.
Fun possibility.
Realistically, I don't know if it's going to happen ever.
I agree.
But I think even in a more realistic sense, an in-season tournament for the teams just in the NBA where you lock in seeding, or like, let's say you make the Final Four, those four teams are guaranteed a playoff spot. If you make the championship, you're guaranteed home court advantage.
But even
if you win it, you're guaranteed a first round bye.
Sammy,
and forget one second for the play-in game, there's a first round bye, and the play-ins, like, the next team in the playoffs plays the winner of the
love that but imagine, like, at the end of the day, you get a fucking trophy, and you might get, like, a ring, not a ring, let's say a bracelet, because you want to keep the ring, like, you know, sacred. But, like, imagine you get something if you win this.
Yeah, a medal,
something. You think the teams...
Rolex, like, partnered with the Rolex. Yeah. A Rolex that says in-season
champ. I love that. Rolex is the partner, and the winners on the team get this big-ass Rolex with, like, a trophy in the middle as, like, the emblem. And, like, the trophy is, like, a Rolex. Like, who wouldn't tune in? You tune in. You tune in more
than the
Nuggets.
I hate to say I would, but I would.
I know. But you tune in more than the Nuggets and 76ers tonight. We're not even watching. We're recording.
Well, Joel Embiid's out, which goes back to people were pissed Joel Embiid's out. He's not, like, fully hurt. He's like, it's like load management. Yeah. And he's in the middle of an MVP race with Nikola Jokic, and Embiid decided to sit out this game. Exactly. Or the team told him to sit out, whatever you want to call it. That's a problem for the NBA.
It is. But if you had a midseason, let's call it the Basketball Association Cup, you're tuning in.
I think I would. In conclusion, I'm going to conclude this one because I think we could talk for 2 hours until we came up with a good final thought on it. But in conclusion, I don't know if the fun method or the cool method or the right method would happen. I don't know if any of them will.
Me either.
But I do think it would add some flair to the regular season. It would help people's MVP campaigns. Nikola Jokic sweeps through the World Basketball Classic and wins it.
I never thought of that. Because that would, a lot of players like Nikola Jokic, that would be, or like LeBron James. Yo, I won the midseason tournament. I'm
like,
the MVP.
Imagine like the quadruple crown, okay? Yeah. Like LeBron James at 40 years old in 2 years when they have the in-season tournament can look at you and say, you know what I did? I won the World Basketball Classic, won MVP. I won a gold medal in the USA Olympics. Tournaments. And at the same time, I won the NBA championship, the MVP, and the finals MVP.
Yep. I won 6 trophies this
in 1 year. You think I'm not better than Michael Jordan? And Michael Jordan would say, I didn't have those chances. Yeah. It's like, but
think about that. Because soccer has that. Like, honestly, that's why I like soccer. You have something called the quadruple in soccer, and like, let's say the English Premier League, when a team wins the FA Cup.
Make sure you dumb it down for everyone, because I'm stupid when it comes to soccer.
So, soccer. The Premier League is the English League. You can win the English League. You can win the League Cup, which is just the first and second league teams play in a single elimination tournament. You can win the FA Cup, where it's 144 teams playing in a tournament to win the English Cup. That's 3. And you can win the Champions League. All of a sudden, you have 4 trophies in 1 year. Imagine in the NBA, you can win 2 trophies, MVP, NBA Finals, MVP. You can win the quadruple. And people will be like, you know what, bro? This is like the back to the debate show. LeBron James won the quadruple.
And I would use that against you as why he's better than Michael Jordan.
And I'd be like, dude, the quadruple is impossible to win.
Michael Jordan could have never won that.
No, maybe never. Maybe never. Because it's so much focus all year.
Or the six couplet where he wins a gold medal that year, too.
Yeah, and I think it's like...
Messi, if he won the Ballon d'Or, the Champions League, the Premier League, a World Cup, and won the Premier League Player of the Year or something.
Like, you're starting to come on my side. I like this. I like this.
Damn it. I never wanted to be part of this movement, but there's something to it.
There's something to it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that is the fix, but it's a start. There's something to it.
There is. All right. I'm on board.
Beautiful.
I can see our coals from here. I think we have time for one more question.
Really?
They'll burn over on the other side.
Let me take a look.
Or is it even on?
Oh, it's on. No. We just take a quick break.
Quick break. All right. Back from break number 2, George. And it's time for my second question. And then after that, we got 2 rapid fire questions. I'm going NFL.
Okay.
And today, I put this question last night. This morning, I woke up with like 40 tweet notifications about Mr. Lamar Jackson himself putting out a statement on Twitter about requesting a trade on March 3rd and linked his website with like thetrez8.com to a Gmail message. Like, I don't think it was done very well to personally. And I love Lamar Jackson.
Me too.
Before we signed Geno Smith for the Seahawks, my number one hope was that the Seahawks find a way to trade for Lamar Jackson. So I'm not trying to hate on him for his bad marketing, his mom being his agent, but that's just the reality of his. It's not a good look so far. But I wanted to ask you, is Lamar Jackson the strangest QB situation? Sorry, let me restart that. Is Lamar Jackson the strangest QB contract situation we've seen in NFL history?
Okay, so I haven't been around NFL history since like the 60s, 70s, but like in my time.
Okay, let me add that to that, because in the 60s and 70s, I don't think we had as much drama about the numbers and guaranteed money. And it was a different world.
Different world, absolutely.
This world is when we really got into more serious contract issues every single year with every quarterback. Even Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks, people are wondering how much is he going to make, how much is... Joe Namath was getting paid what he gets paid, and like I feel like it wasn't as much of a drama
Broadway
situation.
Joe.
Right? Like,
Broadway Joe.
Broadway Joe was just getting paid. Like, whatever he's getting paid, if it's $2 million, $2 million. In recent history, or in your lifetime, is this the weirdest QB situation you've ever seen? And I'll add this, and I'll shut up for a couple minutes. We're talking about MVP Lamar Jackson, who, oh, he can't win playoff games, won a playoff game. Oh, this, he won MVP. Oh, that, his legs are still good 5 years later. The dude is a bona fide top 5 or 10 quarterback in the NFL. And I'll say a top 5 playmaker in the NFL, top 5 important person in the NFL.
Top 5 player.
Yeah, player, forget quarterback even. And nobody offered him a contract or a trade or something to get him after the contract issue with the Ravens. He said today, March 3rd, was when he requested a trade. We're on March 27 when we're recording this.
Yep.
And no one's requested nothing. We had the NFL owners meeting, everything. He put out this tweet today. And he put it out purpose on today because everyone's in Phoenix here in our hometown at the meetings. And they all stampeded John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh, whatever his name
John Harbaugh.
And asked him. And he said he's our quarterback for the future is what I'm expecting. How weird is this situation?
It's the second weirdest situation in NFL history.
Is Aaron Rodgers weird or who?
No. And this is not because of actual quarterback play or contract play. Michael Vick's the weirdest because he went to jail.
Okay. With exception of the man who went to jail for dog fighting, who plays a lot like Lamar Jackson. And
the Falcons are the favorite to sign him.
How weird is this?
It's the weirdest non-injury slash...
Less off-field problem.
Off-field problems. All in all, Lamar Jackson seems like to be like the best dude ever. Like, no one doesn't like Lamar Jackson.
His personality is a 10 out of 10.
Oh, my God, dude. I love this guy, and everyone loves this guy. But I think, in general, the problem here is, and I love moms to death, but, like, we all know we all have moms, and we love our moms so much, but they want their baby to have the best.
If our mom saw Deshaun Watson... Who has 20?
Who's another guy who's a weird situation as
but
a quarterback?
He got the money. He got 200 and whatever guaranteed. And I know all NFL owners were pissed about that.
Yeah.
Outside the Browns owner because they got Deshaun Watson.
Well, he might be pissed now after he saw him play this year.
If my mom saw that Deshaun Watson, our mom, sorry, we're brothers. We've talked about that. If our mom saw Deshaun Watson get 200 and whatever, $240 million guaranteed while having 20. Sexual assault, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it's called. Massage therapist, raping, sexual harassment, whatever weird situation he has. Guaranteed. My mom would go to my team and be like, he needs $300 million.
Yeah, so that's the problem here. And it is the weirdest situation, non-scandal in NFL history for quarterbacks. The dude seems to be a good teammate. His teammates love him. His coaching staff seems to love him. And John Harbaugh said all the right things today. But in general, I just think that he wants more than he can eat in a weird way, right? Like,
can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, he's going to Applebee's and asking for filet mignon. You can't do that, man. Like,
so are you on the team like, I've heard this theory a lot. And, you know, a lot of people hate this theory. So I'm not saying I agree with it. And I'll probably push back a little bit. We're not a debate show. I'm not in a debate with you. I'm going to push back a little bit and say, give my opinion if you say yes to this. There's a lot of people claim the Ravens have built a perfect situation for him. They built a perfect offense, coaching staff, situational.
Have you seen those wide receivers?
Yeah, but is he a wide receiver necessary quarterback?
We don't know because I've never seen him with an elite wide receiver.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, we'll bring in Dez Bryant at 39 years old.
I don't know. Maybe if you gave him DeAndre Hopkins on one side and
DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett.
No, just leave the Seahawks guys out of here. I want to keep them in Seattle.
Okay, if you gave them
Davante Adams and
okay, I'll give you one. AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. the Eagles situation.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts looked like a fucking king.
Yeah, maybe.
Jalen Hurts was a top five quarterback in the NFL by far, not even close this year. He was maybe the best quarterback in the NFL consistency-wise for most of the year.
Bro, put him in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. What would he do? Or with a running back situation.
Like Dak Prescott, how good did he look with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper?
Amazing. So maybe Lamar Jackson has gotten the raw end of his stick here. And I feel like that's where his point is. He's like, yo, I have ran this program. I've ran this team. I won a Heisman Trophy. I won an MVP. I've done everything. I've led you to the playoffs. I led Louisville to a BCS game. Like
Heisman Trophy winner,
Heisman
MVP,
Trophy winner, MVP. Like, yo, give me some respect. Like DeAndre, Deshaun Watson got like $240 million guaranteed. At least give me $200 million guaranteed.
Kirk Cousins got like $105 million guaranteed. At one
so
point.
I kind of
85. Sorry,
I kind of side with Lamar Jackson, but I think he needs to chill out a little bit and take like $150 million guaranteed.
If I was Lamar Jackson, it's so easy to say that because I'm not in the NFL and I don't make $105 million. Like, I'm broke compared to Lamar Jackson. Any average human is broke compared to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but I want to say, like, the Baltimore Ravens are known as one of the best franchises in the NFL, right? Like, they're just run well.
And you know they're not going to fuck up your roster.
The grass isn't always greener. You can go to the Falcons, who haven't been historically a great franchise. You can go to... I don't know who else is looking at him. Like,
you can go to Carolina if they trade that number one pick for you.
But
you can go to the Jets.
Like, and the problem with Lamar, though, I think, is he has gotten all... even if he gets all this guaranteed money, you don't see many national TV Lamar commercials. You see Baker Mayfield on national TV. But this is mom is his agent. I love moms. Like, I love my mom to death. But she doesn't have those ins and outs of, like, those connections that maybe a regular agent would have.
And you know, I think it's also... he's not the common man, yeah, like, to advertisers. And I don't, you know, we can get these people that always, like, claim racism with what I'm going to say. Not what I'm saying. I come from an immigrant family. My mom and dad have accents. You were born in Syria. But he,
I mispronounce things sometimes.
Yeah, he is, like, a southern draw black man with cornrows. And having your mom as an agent... like, might not be able to sling those same deals as a Baker Mayfield, the white guy with a beard that's from, like, looks like an Oklahoma, Texas guy.
Exactly.
And do I think that's wrong? Yes. You know why? Because me and George's, some of our favorite quarterbacks are Jameis Winston and Lamar Jackson.
Jameis still got the raw end of his stick, I'm telling you right now.
Jameis Winston got screwed. We are big fans of these guys that are from different situations. So the reason I said, like, don't try to sit here and call me racist for that. I'm talking about marketing and advertising. I'm not talking about me being against a southern draw black man, because I know me and you both love Lamar Jackson and Jameis Winston and my quarterback, Geno Smith. They're not the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, white guy with pretty eyes, Tom Brady, white guy with a beard, Baker Mayfield. They are different than the national advertiser, but if Lamar Jackson had a Drew Rosenhaus, whatever his name is, type of agent,
he might get some more deals.
Because you know who I'd love to see on commercials every day?
Who?
Lamar Jackson.
Me too. Here's one thing I'm going to say about Lamar Jackson. If I was Lamar Jackson and I am going to leave Baltimore, I'm going to the NFC. He's the best quarterback in the NFC if he goes to the
NFC.
By
far. He surpasses Jalen Hurts or Kirk Cousins or Geno Smith.
He's
or
the best
Jared Goff.
So if I'm him, if I am leaving the Baltimore Ravens, I'm going to the NFC, and you'll see him in the Super Bowl in the next 2 years.
I would agree with that. And I think I also kind of want to add to what I said a minute ago just for a second. Because
I like look at our shoes right now. They're for people live. We both got Nikes on. StockX, if you're watching,
sponsor us.
Sponsor this shit. Free shoes and $100,000
for us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, our deal. I like that. I am not saying you can't market a Lamar Jackson. What I'm saying is that he needs the right people to figure out what markets are for him.
Yep.
And you know what I think the best market for him is right now? He needs to go. This is a team I actually think they'll trade for him. To the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't want that. I don't want to root against him.
Neither do I.
Fan.
I don't want to do it because I love my Seahawks. I can't watch them lose to Lamar Jackson. He would be marketed in a progressive northwestish city. Right. He'll be brought in with open arms, like he deserves.
Same with Atlanta, though.
Like I agree, but I'm just saying he'll be brought in with open arms, like he deserves to be. If there was anything I ever wished for Lamar Jackson was, if we didn't have Geno Smith, is to have Lamar Jackson in Seattle, San Francisco, with that coaching staff, with the way they change from Trey Lance to Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Purdy to make it to an NFC championship, what would they do for Lamar Jackson? He would be a two-time Super Bowl winner.
It'd be a dynasty.
Yeah, it'd be a dynasty, a two, three-time Super Bowl winner. I actually believe that.
Me too.
He might have to take a little less money over there, but I think when they, the way they can bring people in, and I hate the 49ers with all my heart, 49ers and Astros, my two least favorite teams in all sports. I hate them with all my heart because I'm a Seattle fan.
You forgot one. The OKC Thunder.
I also, yeah, I hate them, but I don't have a team to root for in the NBA, so I just kind of forget about them.
Yeah, I know.
But, and they're not that good yet, which they're going to be. But those are teams I hate. But he would be so damn good in San Francisco that I think it'd be unbelievable. And I think, to answer my own question, he's the weirdest situation I've ever seen in my life, because if I was a GM of an NFL team right now, I would say, guys, what the fuck are we doing? This guy, even if in 4 years he hurts his knee and he's not the same guy, Kyler Murray, for example, tore his ACL. Yeah. Do you still think the Cardinals are somewhat happy that they have Kyler Murray? Yeah.
Do they have Kyler Murray than Sam Darnold?
Exactly my point. Yeah. The Cardinals are saying, okay, Kyler Murray might not come back fully next year, but we have Kyler Murray. And if he can become 90% of what he was with his feet, his legs, his arm, we're good. Lamar Jackson, to me, is Kyler Murray with 10x upside. He doesn't have the same problems of like...
He's plays, obsessive Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty. He doesn't say problems of, oh, the contract says you have to study. Lamar Jackson talks about how much he likes to study. So everything I said before was just like about, I just think he's marketed wrong by his own not having an agent. Because like I said, and I'm going to say it one more time, I come from an immigrant family, a family with an accent, a family with a, talks a little different than other people, acts a little different. We're sitting here smoking hookah. Not everybody's going to do this.
We're on like our fourth whiskey.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to do that. And I know my mom would say, you see that number, Deshaun Watson? Oh, that's us minimum, not maximum,
minimum.
Like, we came to this country, we're better than that person at football. 100%. And I know Lamar Jackson's mom and him himself are thinking the same things. And that's where I think the issue is. I think they need a team like San Francisco that can say, we agree with you, but for our cap, it's got to be 190 but guaranteed.
You know, but you know what, bro?
That's and not 250.
I agree with that, but that's something like, people should love Lamar Jackson because everyone loves their mama.
Yeah, but it's still a mistake.
It's still a mistake, but that's why people should be rooting for Lamar Jackson. Family oriented.
Because if him and his mom lock this deal, his mom's not taking an agent fee. His mom's just part of that fucking money.
Exactly.
He's not losing 20%, 15%, 10%. I don't know how much agents make. It's probably a business we should get into and hire Lamar Jackson. But
Lamar, come smoke a hookah with us.
Yeah, literally. But at the end of the day, all I got to say, George, is we love you, Lamar. You deserve, right now, outside of Patrick Mahomes, he deserves to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, in my humble opinion. So hopefully it gets done.
I hope so. Maybe him, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. But it's a handful of guys.
Different, though. Okay, I'll tell you why. Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence will be. But right now, like as of today, who deserves it the most? Lamar Jackson.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting at.
Love it.
All right.
Time for some rapid fire?
Time for rapid fire. We have each have one question left about sports, right. And then our last question is going to be about personal stuff. And then we call it a day, and all we'll right. See us next week.
Here is the rapid fire. Sammy, why are Europeans surpassing Americans in the NBA? Not just Europeans, international. Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic. Who else am I thinking?
Giannis.
Giannis. And Jason Tatum are the top five MVP candidates right now. Four or five are from out of this country. Why are Europeans, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, we're not going to give too many follow-ups. Why are Europeans or international players in general surpassing NBA players?
I'm putting a 3-minute timer because I want to hear some of your thoughts. Timer's on, you'll hear a bum, 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 bum after or whatever the summit alarm is. I think it's the style of basketball. Now, earlier in this podcast, we talked about AAU basketball and the three-point shooting and the training. Yep. I am someone, you guys can sit in the comments, whether this is a clip or a full YouTube podcast or a 10-minute clip on YouTube, and say, oh, you know nothing, you're not a hooper, you're not this. George, you can confirm, was I pretty deep into the AAU circuit?
Sammy, you're a hooper, man. Bill Self gave you shoes.
Bill Self did give me a pair of shoes. Whether he confirms or denies, he gave me a pair of Kansas shoes.
Before you go, sorry, can you give me the tongs?
Okay. It was. I don't even know where they are. Here it is. 1 second. Sorry to the listeners. All right. Bill Self gave me a pair of shoes that Adidas Super 64 in Vegas because in eighth grade, I was like 5'9", which is the height I still am today. And I was able to be like a Magic Johnson point guard from 6th to 8th grade because I was 5'9 since I was 12 years old. And so I was literally bringing the ball up, fucking posting people up at the high post, dominating basketball. And then even after that, George knows, I was at the national tournaments. We lost to the Drew Green and All-Stars in the Sweet 16 of the AAU Nationals in Orlando at the World Disney of Sports in Orlando, where the NBA bubble was. You were there.
The World Basketball Classic. No, I'm kidding.
Pretty much. It was the AAU National Championships. Yeah. I was a hooper. If I can get some people to confirm or deny that. Mostly confirm. I don't love, and I coached, by the way. I did coach spring league basketball teams in high school. I've coached kids. I don't like how basketball's trained here. Mm-hmm. Right now, a lot of it is an emphasis on athleticism, an emphasis on the ability to shoot threes, an emphasis on the ability to be a star on Instagram like Mikey Williams and, you know, the Mac McClungs, which who, God bless him, he made the dunk contest alive again. But in Europe, I think they play the real brand of basketball that we were playing. I'm not going to say in the 90s. I was born in the 90s. I'm not born in 93. I'm not going to sit here and say I watched that much Patrick Ewing and Michael Jordan and David Robinson, right? And Hakeem Olajuwon. But you remember the early 2000s where you had the Detroit Pistons win a championship with Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, yep. Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace. Those are the European players.
Yes.
Those are exact. And Tim, sorry, one more set. Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker.
And Tim Duncan's not even from the States.
Yeah, he's from
US
sort
Virgin
of.
Islands.
Yeah, US.
Yeah, but
he's not from the AAU
States. Training from those, yeah.
And Tony Parker's from France, and Ginobili's from Argentina. And those teams were winning a lot of championships because they played a certain brand of basketball. I can't believe that was 3 minutes. Those teams played a certain brand of basketball, and those are the reasons these international guys who are playing a certain brand of basketball are getting things done now in the NBA, and I want to hear your opinion. I think that's the simple reason. AAU is teaching the wrong method of basketball, even though a lot of stars, a lot. I played against Zach LaVine a lot in high school. The guy's a fucking killer in the NBA. And I'm not, whether he wins the championship one day or whether he's a top 20 or top 30 or 40, whatever you want to call him, player, he's a killer because he's really good at basketball. But he's not Giannis, Jokic, Luka, Embiid. He's you know, there's a lot of other good international guys, the Pascal Siakams and whatnot. Victor Wembanyama, that's coming soon. That's my theory. The AAU basketball game's a little off based on stardom and all those things.
Okay, you're right. But there's a two-prong answer to this, in my opinion. Sammy, if you go look at it, one, some guy like Nikola Jokic, when he was playing in Serbia, he was like 16 years old playing against 27-year-olds. He was playing professional basketball. He wasn't playing amateur basketball. He was playing professional basketball. As I'm passing the tongs to Sammy, he was playing professional basketball at a young age. So he was already adapted to big men's strength. There wasn't like this learning curve when he came to the NBA. Number two is over there, European soccer. I know. I can't believe I'm talking about soccer this much on this podcast.
This guy and his soccer.
But it's like soccer over there because, like Harry Kane, for example, my favorite player on Tottenham Hotspur, he is, when he was like 9 years old, he signed with Tottenham Hotspur. Same with someone like Luka Doncic, where he signed at like 11 years old with Real Madrid in the Spanish league. He was able to go live, work, breathe, go to school with Real Madrid. So his whole life was revolved around basketball. And to me, these guys are more prepared when they come to the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what it is to
but
me.
That preparation, the last thing I'll say, because it's supposed to be rapid fire, that preparation has to do with the way that versus AU preps.
Oh, 100%.
And the way AU's playing. And I love AAU basketball. I think it's the greatest thing for basketball. So don't get me wrong.
In this country, yes, it is.
Because would we have the Zach LaVine, Anthony Edward, Jason Tatum's without AAU, John Morant's? No.
No, absolutely not.
We would not, because they would not have as much experience. They would not have as much games in the summer. They'd be playing with their high school teams, kicking it,
yeah.
And then just, you know, eating teriyaki and Mexican food and and going to whatever their local fucking Applebee's is after practice and absolutely. Kicking it. AAU made them busy, like a full-time job. My AAU games were full-time jobs. George. Yeah, like,
exactly.
You know me. I was driving a Queen Anne Seattle to play for Emerald City, and we'd go play against Rotary Style and Friends of Hoop against those teams that Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas and Zach LaVine play on and all these different NBA players. But the brand of basketball is wrong. The thought is right. The brand is wrong.
Yeah, because they're playing against guys their age. They're not playing against older guys. They're not like Luka was playing as a role player. He wasn't playing as a star.
Zach LaVine was playing against me.
You're pretty good, though.
Not that good if you ask Zach, probably. Respect. Zach LaVine, we'll get him
respect,
on this podcast one day.
Respect, man. Respect, respect.
That's a soccer reference again.
Yeah, you want to put me a little whiskey, bro, on this pod?
Yeah, but I was about to ask you my question.
Hey, ask it.
All right. So, George.
All right. Very little, though.
Here you go. I'm going to give you the bottle. I'm going to give you... I'll hold your cup.
Hold the cup. Hold the cup.
All right. For the podcast listeners, you can watch these on youtube.com/thesportsontap, full podcast. You'll see me handing this bottle of whiskey to my brother. Here, pour me some, too. Pour me some.
This is live on the pod.
This is live on the pod, bro. Just wait till we get some big guests, guys. We're going to have some big guests.
We're about to get Shaq hammered.
Yeah, and have him smoking a hookah. We're going to have him at
Shaq
Oasis.
Is gonna need it, like, we're going to a lot more than this.
Yeah, we're gonna do at Oasis Hookah Bar in Scottsdale one day with Shaq.
I can't wait. And hand me the tongs while we're at it.
They're right here.
All right, George.
I'm going to respond to this question very quickly, so it's going to be even faster than the last rapid fire, but you have 3 minutes. What's the one athlete you would ideally... I'm trying to ask this slowly while he changes his goals. I don't mind this because, you know, the people, if you like us, you're watching this. I already know. Put it down right there.
Okay.
Cole's over here. What's the one athlete you would ideally trade lives with?
Harry Kane!
I'm not even going to respond. I'm going to wait for you to answer this damn question because I know nobody would trade lives with Harry Kane on Tottenham. Half our listeners probably don't even know who that is.
Okay, so I've kind of thought about this multiple times. I would definitely be a European soccer star. And if it was me, it would be Harry Kane, bro.
Okay, but...
Harry Kane, he's England's all-time leading scorer.
The people don't know how badly I want to make this a debate show right now, but I'm going to just
shut
up.
No, it's not Harry Kane.
I knew it was not. There's no way it was Harry Kane.
I want to play on Tottenham Hotspur, bro.
I want to hear your real answer. You have 3 minutes. You're already down to 2.5 minutes.
Okay, so here's my thing. I would be an international soccer star. I don't know if that would be English Premier League. I don't know if that would be... The two I came down with are baseball or English Premier League. I want to look normal. I'm not saying that basketball players don't look normal. I don't want to be 6'11 walking through a grocery store and everyone knows, like, oh, you're a bad
I'm going to answer this. You want to be a cut 6-foot soccer player.
Yeah.
Or like a 5'8 Messi that has a six-pack.
Or like a Alex Rodriguez, 6'3", like... You know what I mean? Like, I want to look normal.
We just hit 3 sports. So what's the answer?
It's either soccer or baseball. But I think it's
I need
soccer.
A final answer.
I think it's soccer.
I need a person. So I'm going to give you my response when we're done. What's one athlete? I'm not saying what's one idea. What's one athlete right now, if I told you, you're going to switch lives with? And it doesn't matter if it's end of career or beginning of career. Don't forget. Don't worry about that. Like, let's pretend you switch lives with them at the beginning of their career. Because I don't want to exclude, like, LeBron where he's at the back end, right? If right now you could switch lives with one athlete where you've started from 18 years old at their career, who would it be?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's a good answer. I mean, it's really a hard one to argue.
Cristiano or Messi. Like, those are the two, but maybe Cristiano. Because, okay, look, Europe is a great place to live. Like, you can get on a quick flight. You have the beaches. And then also, I almost feel like I could, like, come to the United States and live here, and not that many people would bother me. Look, people know who Cristiano Ronaldo is, but not like LeBron James in the States.
Correct.
I could walk around a grocery store, go to a restaurant, and maybe not be as bothered.
I don't know why my mic's falling now, but...
But can it be Harry Kane? Can it be Cristiano Ronaldo and go to Tottenham Hotspur?
I hate that answer, but yeah. But I still want one answer. Here's the thing, George. I'm not going to let
people,
you stop.
I do love Harry Kane.
I'm not going to stop till you give me one name. You said or, can I? One name.
All right, I'd be Messi. Like, if I could switch lives with anyone, Messi.
Okay.
Messi, yeah, if I could switch lives. Like, I even though I like Cristiano Ronaldo more, but he hasn't won the World Cup. He's playing in Saudi Arabia. I don't want to live in Saudi Arabia. I'd rather live in Paris and play for PSG.
You'd have some good hookah bars in Saudi Arabia, though.
True, but in Paris, too, there's a lot of Arabs in Paris. Like, I would be Lionel Messi.
Okay, Lionel Messi. And here's my response as the buzzer goes off. I would be... See, now you valued money and fame. I would be a... trying to think of which one. I would want to be on an American team, but be a guy that nobody's going to know on the streets and make like $4 or $5 million. And I brought this name up the other day. Now, everyone's going to be so confused about this. I want to see if you can guess it. I was watching the NCAA tournament the other day, and I was like, huh, what's this guy doing?
Adam Morrison?
Mm-mm. We're watching Creighton. And
Dermott?
Doug McDermott.
You'd rather be Doug McDermott than LeBron James.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Doug McDermott is an average-looking white guy. He makes $13 million a year to play on the San Antonio Spurs.
It's a lot of money.
He makes $13 million a year. A little bit of a college star, so I'll be a fucking star in my college town. But my dad's still the coach. If you guys don't know, I think it's Greg McDermott for Creighton. They just lost, obviously, San Diego State on a bullshit call. My dad's the coach of Creighton. I'm still a fucking superstar at Creighton.
Super duper star.
Super. If I open a McDermott restaurant in Creighton, number one restaurant in Omaha. Creighton, Omaha, Nebraska, number one restaurant. If there was a McDermott steakhouse, would that be the number one restaurant in Omaha?
There might be one already.
There might be. Actually, that's a great question to research. But Doug McDermott has made $72 million in his NBA career. No one will fucking have one clue. Maybe out in San Antonio, maybe. If he comes and lives in Phoenix in the offseason.
No.
I'd be like, look at this tall ass white dude. He's 6'9". Cool. At Sprouts or at Whole Foods. I'd be like, cool. Safeway, wherever the fuck you go. Cool.
I like it.
Nice tall white guy. Oh, this guy might.
But Messi got $1 billion.
Fuck $1 billion. Let me tell you why. If I made $13 million a year in San Antonio playing for the Spurs, I'd have a $2 million house in San Antonio. I'd have a $2 million house in Miami. I'd have a $2 million house in Phoenix. And I can afford that shit.
Can you get one in Spain?
Yeah, probably right. Also. Because guess what? Two, that's $8 million. That's not even, that's half my 1 year salary. I can pay him off in full.
Okay.
He made $72 million. Can that $72 million finish off my payments right now for the rest of my life on those houses?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Plus, he's going to make more money. He might make $5 million a year for the next 10 years and make $50 million extra.
I'm going to be Harry Kane.
He's going to invest in properties. He's going to invest and pay things. Doug McDermott would live the best life in the world, and I'm going to pick Doug McDermott.
All right, you know, I'll pick Harry Kane, then, if that's the theory, because Harry Kane can go around, like, another country, and no one will recognize him. And he still makes, like...
Two average-looking white dudes.
Yep.
That's the conclusion.
I have to say, Harry Kane, he's one of our own.
What, average white, look at my dudes? You don't, you're not white.
No, but that's what they call him in Tottenham. He's one of our own. You know what that means?
One of us.
Yeah, because he was, he signed with Tottenham when he was nine, so he's one of the, one of our own.
Nine?
He was 9 years old, yeah, when he signed with Tottenham.
I gotta get my kid to sign with a team at nine.
He was 9 years old, bro. Can you believe that, by the way? He was 9 years old, signed with Tottenham Hotspur, and he's been there since.
I love it.
20 years.
I'm trying to wrap up a rapid fire because...
All right, let's wrap it up.
Because, George, here's the deal. We have two personal questions coming.
All right, here's my personal question for you.
Well, I want to explain to people for a second. Go ahead. So let me explain to the people. We're two brothers. We run the Sports on Tap, the podcast you're watching. We run some Seattle pages because we're big Seattle fans. But we both run a little bit of a personal side projects. George has a page called Going on George, where he does travel stuff. George loves to travel. I have a page called
Too Much
Stuff with Sammy. I love content creation, talking about this type of stuff. You know, as George could admit, I'm the master behind setting up the cameras and the podcast and the visual aspects. And it's not perfect today. It's not perfect.
No, but I made the hookahs.
He made the hookahs, but it's not perfect today. It's our first time recording an outdoor podcast. But George.
Yes, sir.
There is one thing that we both love is making content for our other hobbies. And mine's, I have a hobby of content creation. You have a hobby of travel. So we're going to ask each other one question about those type of things. Going on George on all platforms. Stuff with Sammy on all platforms. Stuff with Sammy is S-A-M-I. George is spelled like George, so don't worry.
Going on George.
Stuff with S-A-M-I. Going on George. You know how to spell those. Let's each ask each other one quick personal question, a minute each.
Okay.
Because this podcast is dragged on today because we're having a good time. What's your question to me?
All right, Sammy, why do you want to talk about making content? Is it to help people or is it to further your, like, making content? Like, is it help or is it just because you love making content and you want to, like, get better at making content?
Yeehaw. I love this question. I don't know why the fuck I said yeehaw, but yeehaw.
That's right.
Why did I say my fiance lives in Houston? I got a little Texas in me now. Yeehaw. I was going to take a sip. Let me take a sip. I'll tell you why. I love that question because my ultimate goal is two things. And yes, I love to make content. That's part of it. But making more content for another page does bring me more time and stress.
Yes, of course.
So I don't know if that's the answer. But the two-prong answer to this is I want to help people. And I want to see if I can achieve another part of this as a business.
Like another avenue.
Another avenue of business. And I'll start with this. When I say I want to start another avenue of business, I'm not talking about courses. And maybe we're talking about courses, but in a different way. But I'm not talking about courses in the sense of I'm going to sell you on some funnel or some idea that I'm going to make you an expert. Number one, if it's a business and courses or something like that, like, the main purpose would be to help others. Now, my fiance, Noor, she's from Jordan, you know, two Middle Easterns, got to meet over social media, which is why another reason I love social media. Yep. Like, social media is a big part of my life. We do sports content. I do content about content creation. I met my fiance, who happens to speak Arabic like me and you know, do content creation like me. And she does food stuff, Noms with Noor, at Noms with Noor. N-O-M-S, Noms, with N-O-O-R, Noor.
Not N-O-U-R.
Yeah, N-O-O-R, Noms with Noor. I met my fiance off social media. And I think social media has so many negatives to it. Totally fine. And I know there's a big trend about, oh, how it, TikTok causes these problems and Instagram and comparison. Yeah. Totally fine. Totally agree. But I think there's a lot of people that can use social media for good, George. And I want to use it for good. I want people to be able to, you know, do what we just did right now is have a podcast about sports because that's what we love to do. And if zero people watch it, or if one or two or three or 10 million, anywhere in that range, we're doing something we like to do. And if we make it even to the smallest business in the world, it's the coolest thing ever. And I'd love to help people with that. And I love that business aspect. And only if we can make it into a situation where I'm able to help people learn how to make their videos better. My girlfriend comes to me and says, how'd you do that zoom in on your face? And I said, oh, you click this keyframe button on CapCut. Yep. And you've asked me that same question, right? Or I've showed you the same way. If you click this keyframe and click the second keyframe and it zooms in on your face and it looks cool and you make a put an audio on that. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend looked at me and said, man, if you made a video about that on TikTok and on Instagram and everywhere, people would love to learn that. And to me, I'm like, dude, if I could help some people without like gatekeeping and I'm not going to.
Absolutely.
If you want to learn how to make my videos like me, pay me $100. No, I'm going to show you just how to do it on a video. And then if you really want to hire me as like a client one day to like make your videos, fine, different story.
That's
but
a whole different story. But yeah, I love that.
I want to show people how easy it is for someone like me or you who didn't go to school for videography. We didn't have photography, videography as our passions growing up. I learned all these skills and I can show you and now you can do it yourself. Make it about cars, about Pokemon, about sports cards, about real estate, and I can help you make that. That's a dream come true.
Love it. Love that answer, man. It's deep.
Yeah, I just want to be able to help. That's it.
Yeah. No, that was have some passion. Is it to help or is it to continue? But no, it's to help.
And my question to you for going on, George. And I could ask you that same question, but I'm going to save that for another time. Would be, you've traveled to how many countries now?
47-ish.
He's been to 50 countries. I know George has a goal, if I'm not mistaken, to make it to every country in the world.
Yeah, I'm going to do it too. I'm not. It's not just a goal. It's a.
Yeah. Even if it takes till you're 80 years old, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, one day by the end of my life, I'll be at every country in the whole entire world.
That's why we need you guys to blow up this podcast so we can make
it. I can make it to every single fucking country.
We'll do a podcast in every country in the world.
I've been to some weird ones.
How many countries are there? 362?
147?
Oh, we'll do 147 podcasts in different countries for you guys one day. I'll do that. I'll join along. Would you be down to do that? Of course.
You're asking the wrong person.
So my question is, and I know the answer to this, but I kind of want you to talk about it. We're both from Syria.
Yes.
You're born in Syria, moved when you're like, what, 6 months old?
A year.
And you moved to Dubai.
Dubai,
right?
At six, and then here.
6 months. So yeah, you left Syria at 6 months old.
6 months old.
Never been back. Our parents are born and raised in Damascus, Syria. If you're religious, you go to the Bible. It's the longest inhabited city in the history of the world.
Not even the Bible, just facts.
I know, but just Bible wise, like by facts wise, whatever you want to call it. What would, let's say you went to every country, what would Syria mean for you? Like, if you were to go to, I know if you went to every country, Syria is going to mean the most. Why would it mean so much, and what does it mean to you to be able to step foot in Syria? And what's your plans on stepping foot in Syria? I know you like this, right?
Fuck, man, that's a deep question. The moment I step foot in Syria, the first thing I'm going to do
is going to kiss the ground.
I'm going to kiss the ground.
I knew it. My friends. That's my brother. I knew it. Thank you.
I'm going to kiss the ground and I'm going to tear up. You're going to make me emotional here. I'm going to have to take a sip of whiskey here. This is a really small sip. That's enough. Thank you. I'm going to step foot in Syria. It might be this summer, by the way. It might be this summer or the next summer. The moment I step foot in Syria, the first thing I'm going to do is kiss the ground that I was born in. I don't know if that's going to be right on the border or that's going to be in Damascus, right where I was born. But I'm going to cry. I'm crying, almost going to cry thinking about it. Because
there we go. I shouldn't have asked this question.
Man, I didn't want this emotional question.
I'm just kidding. You know, I love serious things, you know that? Like, I like to be a little emotional.
You know me, I'm more a joker.
Yeah, I'm more of like the, you know, reason, stuff with Sammy originated from stuff that matters, and that's, it might revert back to that one day. Stuff that matters really matters to me. Like, you matter, your life matters. A lot of people, everyone listening, they have certain things that would make them, seeing your parents again, seeing your grandparents again, going to your home country, these things, like,
they matter.
I'm one of those dudes, you know, that like to be an emotional wreck sometimes. And that's why I want to ask you this question. Like, what, like, you'd kiss the ground and How much more would it mean to you than the other places?
Nothing matters to me.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I went to Thailand. Cool. It's fucking awesome, but...
But that's a place I lived. I was born. Like, I came out of my mother's, like...
Womb.
Thank you.
I was about to get weird. Right?
Yeah, I came out of my mother's womb there. And if I step foot in Syria, man, I'm going to cry my eyes out.
I think I might, too. I've never been. I've never been. And I talk about it as if it's not that big of a deal. But
the moment we cross the border, my eyes are going to ball.
My thing is, we better do it together, right?
We can't.
Okay. Forget. I don't want. We'll get this to another episode.
I actually think it's going to be a two cry. It's going to be a three cry prong. The moment I cross the border, first cry.
Or vice versa. Sammy crosses the border and then you come after.
Whoever goes first. Second cry, I see Sammy there. Second cry. Third cry, the moment I step in my grandma's house.
If we still have it at that point. Which hopefully
I don't even know if we'll have it or if it's just step out in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But that's the third cry. Yeah, it's going to mean more to me than anything that's ever meant to me my whole entire life.
And I agree with that. And that's why I say, you know, and we shake on this on the pod.
Sorry, I don't want to hit the mic.
We are going at the same time. I know George would not accept me to go, and then he has to go 7 months later, and vice versa.
I might go this summer, bro. I'm
I'd be going the same summer.
Absolutely.
Anytime we step foot, I'm stepping foot. There's no restrictions to that, bro.
But no, it would mean more to me than anything that's ever happened to me in my whole entire life.
And that's why it means a lot.
Yeah.
Man, first episode of the Hookah Talk. How's it feel?
I'm a little tipsy, but I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Same here. This is the end, I think, is it?
Yep.
My light went out. We only have one light left. I think it's time.
Let's do it. Let's end it.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of Hookah Talks with the Sports on Tap brothers. You can find us everywhere at YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.com/TheSportsOnTap. If you look up our podcast, if you're listening on YouTube and you just want to listen audio, it's the Sports on Tap brothers. Anywhere you want to find us, you can find us. And this is the beginning of something special. So, George, I really love this. This is the beginning of something special. And let's make it special.
Let's do it.
I love you, bro.
Love you too, Habib Elvi.
You're my...
That's Arabic for you guys. It means like my heart.
My heart. Wallah means for real. Wallah, it means a lot that we do these type of things together and we try to strive for greatness together. And let's keep dominating. And anybody that's watching this, like and subscribe if you made it this far. And if you
hopefully
didn't,
you did.
Hopefully you did. And if you didn't, we'll be back next time and you'll make it this far next time. For the Sports on Tap brothers, thesportsontap.com, the Sports on Tap on all platforms. And much love. And I love you all for listening if you're here.
And you know what I like to say, Sammy?
What do you like to say?
We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for stopping by. Peace.